Episode 22 of Outlander Cast is brought to you by the Tag You're It Etsy shop. From Outlander-inspired necklaces and rings to custom designs for birthdays, Mother's Day, or any occasion, every piece is created by Dawn, one letter at a time, and it's one of a kind. Please take the time to visit Dawn at www.tagyourit.biz. That's B-I-Z. Tell her Mary and Blake sent you and use the coupon code OutlanderCast15 for 15% off your purchase. As always, tag your mama, tag your pet, tag your it, whatever it is.
Jesus. Once they've dug their heels in, there's no budging them. And you don't want to get between them when their danders are up.
How do you manage?
Well, you can tug in their rope or give them a wee kick in their backside. I mean, they might move, or you might get bit for your trouble.
And then what?
Kick them harder.
Welcome to Outlander Cast with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Stars.
Sing me a song of a lass that is gone, safe from that lass behind. Mary of Soul.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Outlander Cast. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I love me some BJR, right? But I don't like them that much.
That was a lot of Blackjack Randall.
That was a little bit more blah, blah, blah.
You got flustered by that scene.
Wow. Holy crap, I am that flustered by it. That is a lot of Blackjack Randall and more than I actually care to see. Like, woo! I mean, I understood the powerful nature of that scene, but, uh-huh. I mean, flaccid penis isn't, like, really my game.
Okay.
It's not my gig. Okay. Not gonna lie.
Well, you know, as your wife, I'm glad to hear that. That would be a little awkward for us. Not gonna lie. Well, we will delve into Blackjack Randall's bits in a little bit of this episode because
his twig and berries.
Yeah, they were both there. They were all of them were there.
It was all there. And you know, I've seen people say that it was a prosthetic.
But it was not.
I don't think it was a prosthetic.
Diana Gabaldon actually said, nope, that's real. That is Tobias.
That's all Tobias Menzies right there.
Tobias has pretty much come out saying that is him. And I read somewhere that he actually was nude in the show Rome at some point, too. Mm-hmm. So this isn't his first time in the rodeo.
Little did I know that when I was fawning all over him in New York...
That he had filmed this scene.
That I had filmed. Like, thank God I didn't see that scene, like, right after. Otherwise,
gosh,
I'd feel a little funny about it.
Your interview would have been a little different. You would have been like, so, what's it like to fondle yourself in front of a camera?
Yeah.
That would have been a really awkward interview.
I'd be like, bro, I like you, but I seen your junk.
Wow.
I don't know what to do now.
Yeah, and you know what's so crazy is so many people talked about this part. Mm-hmm. Like, I had no idea this is what you wanted to talk about, and a lot of people online, it's what they want to talk about. And to me, it's one of the very small, minuscule aspects of this entire episode.
No, it's small for the episode, but I think for the fact that you're seeing male frontal nudity, you don't often see that on television.
Very rarely, you're right.
Very rarely. I think that's what kind of, you know, sets this whole thing off. And more importantly, it's Blackjack Randall. It, for viewers like me, I mean, I didn't necessarily know that he is incapable. He's got ED. He needs some Viagra. I didn't know that. And it's kind of shocking to not only see it, but then really know about it. It's like the perfect package. Excuse.
Oh my gosh. You did the
pun.
That.
I did do it. I went there. I said it. But it is I like a good package, but not that package.
Okay. Moving on. So before we actually talk about this week's episode anymore, some people did not like your reaction to the lovemaking scene.
No, from last episode, The Devil's Mark.
Yeah.
And you know, what I want to do is I want to play a quick 20-second voicemail here. And I'm not calling you out, girl, but I just wanted to play it because I got to defend. It's my honor as a podcaster that I have to defend myself. So here it is.
Blake and Mary, you are the only people I know who watch this show. I'm Janice in Virginia. I can't believe that you missed the essence of the sex scene in the last episode. Jamie knew as soon as she told him who she was that he was going to take her back to the stones. He was memorizing her face. He was inhaling her spirit so that he could remember her. Bye.
All right, Janice, my girl, all peace and love here. All peace and love. I understand. I get it. That he was trying to memorize her face. No problem. The issue that I have is that as a show watcher, I don't have that context. Mary was kind enough to inform me that a lot of people are upset because in the book they say, oh, Jamie tried to memorize her face and give her this one last pleasure and so on and so forth. I get it. He's inhaling her spirit. Love that term, by the way. Really cool. But as a show watcher, there's no context in that nature. He just says, I want to look at you. Now, does that mean to me that he wants to see her and pleasure her one last time? Sure. Does he want to remember her face? Did he make up his mind as soon as she told him that she was from the future? Yeah, probably. I'm willing to go there. But I feel like they could achieve that love, that care, even that aspect of memorizing her face in a different manner. You don't need to pleasure somebody to memorize their face. You just don't need to do that. So it's my complaint, regardless of the memorizing of the face thing, it still stands. You can achieve that whole notion without any lovemaking or sex or pleasuring or going up the skirt. You don't need to do that.
Well, all right there.
Do you agree or do you disagree?
I'll tell you this. I think that there could have been some voiceover usage from not only Claire's perspective when she was deciding what she wanted to do to stairs to go, but maybe during that part, there could have been a little Jamie voiceover to get that point across. To say, oh, you know, I wanted to, I can't do it. I'm coming out French. I don't know what just happened. But for him to get to see her face and get to, I don't know.
Yeah, it's almost like that thing, you know, that song, it's you say it best when you say nothing at all.
Yeah, except I didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I don't have a problem with it. I just feel like it could have been achieved in a lot better manner, especially considering the opening scene of the previous episode where that was just gratuitous in a way.
Once again, I didn't have a problem with it.
I can see that you're not backing me up here.
No, I'm all set. I am okay with them keeping this stuff inside the show because there's a lot of it in the book, and it is a huge aspect of Jamie and Claire's relationship.
Listen, I love sex scenes. I'm all about them. But and Janice, again, yeah, I'm not calling you out, girl. I appreciate, I love the fact that you are engaging with us. I disagree. I really disagree. You can achieve love in many different ways. And I think it's best when you say nothing at all or when you do nothing at all. Just staring and looking. You can inhale somebody's essence when you look at them regardless of.
It probably would have just come
off
creepy, okay, if literally he was just staring at her.
Oh, was it creepy when Claire was staring at Jamie when he was pissed drunk? And she laughed? Was that creepy?
That was cute.
It was cute. Come on now.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Point proven. Nailed it. Drop the mic.
Well, now that the mic has been dropped, why don't we give this episode a kilt rating?
Yep, let's
out
do
of
it.
1 to 5 kilts. What would you give this episode?
I'm giving it 4 kilts.
Okay.
I liked it. I liked not as much as The Devil's Mark, but I liked it a lot. And I'll tell you why. I liked it because it was a breather. You know, after The Devil's Mark, a lot of stuff happened. You know, it built to a crescendo, and then now you almost have to take a step back and allow that stuff to breathe a little bit. And it did. It as soon as the show started, you see Claire and Jamie riding on the horse talking about the future and airplanes. And it felt good. It felt good to get there. And it felt good to allow Jamie to be who he was. But then mix in all the other stuff, building in the mythology. It almost felt like it spinned its wheels a little bit, so that's why it's not a 5 kilt episode. You know, it's just, it almost like, it felt like Rent in a lot of ways. It almost felt like they were just standing in place, waiting for the story to come to them so that the good stuff's about to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do.
And I like that a lot. I don't like the fact that it stood still, but I like that it allowed you to breathe.
It was like a red wine. You know, you open it up and you let it breathe a little bit.
You got to decant, you know?
Okay.
It was a decanting episode. Let's put it that way.
I will agree with you completely on the 4.
Okay.
Normally, I'd be like, oh my God, there was so much Tobias. You would give it 5. I'm leaving my 5s for these really special ones that leave me thinking.
Correct.
That leave me just, you know, oh my God, I need to rewatch that because there was just so much. As I said, I love when it's packed. And this episode, they did fill in a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot, actually. But there was nothing that I didn't not like. I'll tell you that. And you know, I almost went to a 4.5 or even higher because Bear McCreary did some really cool stuff
with the
drunk Jamie scenes. but I'm going to give it a solid, I really liked you 4.
Yeah, 4. I think 4 is appropriate.
I really liked you.
And it was appropriate because it was all, again, I said this last episode, but I think it's even more so in this episode, character work. It built on the characters themselves. It gave you an opportunity to see Jamie in his own world and dealing with his dad's issues or his daddy issues, dealing with the BJR issues, Claire coming to grips with his family. We'll get into all that.
I'm also holding back because I know that if a few more episodes this season are going to be some pretty much near perfect ones for me. So
sure.
I can't give every episode a 5. I mean, I could. I
no,
could.
Don't want to be that
but,
person.
Yeah, I don't want to be that
now.
Person. You know, some people did not like this episode.
Yeah, I can't believe the amount of disparity in the listeners' ideas and kilts for this episode.
Yes, it was.
I've never seen such, like, from one end of the spectrum to the other.
A lot of the people who gave it a low kilt rating were book readers.
Oh, like Lauren Lynn. She gave it 2 kilts, and she ultimately felt that Jamie had few too lines, and he was basically a pushover. You know, essentially have the writers or the producers thrown out the book and decided to use the Cliff Notes version for the series? She doesn't expect a carbon copy, but she does expect to follow the book. She's very unhappy. Last week's show, too. Episodes 1 through 8 were perfect, but 9 and above have been an entirely different show.
Well, you know what? I did a little digging on this because there really was a lot of pushback for people saying this was not right. This was not following the book. These were not the relationships. That was not how Jamie should have been portrayed. And I read something that Diana said where she said book readers need to remember that the book is from Claire's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And in this episode, we hear Claire tell Jamie that she loves him.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're really newly in love with someone, it's hard for you to see their flaws. It's hard for you to see them in a negative light.
Mm-hmm.
And Diana said, you know, Jamie might have been like this. Jamie might have actually acted this way, but we were just reading it from Claire's, I'm so in love with you, you're perfect perspective. And she might not have seen him this way. So that really helped put things into perspective for me where I thought, yeah, my husband Blake can sometimes be an ass, but
sometimes I was an ass the entire intro.
Right? Well, but I love you so much that I'm like, I don't see that at all. And then I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yikes.
I listened back to some episodes and I'm like, ooh, maybe people wouldn't like that. But I love him. So
no wonder we get some bad ratings on iTunes.
So I appreciate what you're saying, Lauren, because yeah, it doesn't follow the book. But for people especially like Blake, who just watched the show, I think, you know, they get to see a different side of Jamie that maybe we didn't at all get to experience because we saw it just from Claire's point of view.
I feel like it was fulfilling. You know what I mean? It was fulfilling to see Jamie screw up.
Well, especially you say that you like that he's not the perfect man.
No,
so.
He's not. If Jamie was just perfect, if it followed the book the way that Claire represented him in the book, he's a flat character.
Well, and you'd be seeing a lot more sex, I'll tell you what, sir.
No, I don't want...
Fortuitous or not.
And I don't want to see a perfect man. I don't want to see a perfect man every single episode. I as a man, cannot relate to that. I'm not even sure if a woman can relate to that.
Oh, we sure do want to.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Maybe Kaylee on Instagram actually gave it 4.5 kilts. Loved that they took their time introducing the complexity of Jamie and Jenny's relationship and felt like Jamie and Claire's Welcome to Lallybroch had real life pacing.
Thank you, maybe Kaylee, because this show, this episode is taking its time. I said this last podcast. This show rushes itself so much.
It needs to fit a lot in.
It does. And I love that. But good TV, you know it's good TV when it takes its time and it allows you to just watch. And it did that on a number of instances in this episode. The stuff with BJR, the stuff with Claire. It took its time. And I like that a lot. All right, kid, what do you say we get into the recap? You want to do it?
Let's do it. You know what I love?
What do you love?
Flying in an airplane.
How did I know that was going to happen?
I do. You don't love it as much as I do.
Oh, no, I love flying.
You get nervous a little bit.
No, I get nervous before we take off. But once the takeoff happens, like once you get pushed back into that seat, I'm into it.
Okay.
Like, I love that whole feeling that the G-force is coming against your body. I love flying.
Oh.
It's freeing. Okay. Feel like a bird. Free as a bird.
Yeah. Well, Claire loves flying too. And we get these beautiful, beautiful scenes of Scotland showing Jamie and Claire traveling a great distance to get to Lallybroch.
What a great way to re-acclimate yourself with Scotland, because you've been so accustomed now to seeing these little towns in Castleleock. You just get to see the landscapes again. It reminded me almost of the first couple of episodes when you just were introduced to Scotland. And how great was that? And how cute was that conversation about the birds and the plane?
And how old they are?
Yeah, I know, right? and Jamie almost being like a boy, you know, learning about the future. And I love how he's so accepting of it.
He really is. I mean, how great that he could just joke around like, oh, when I'm 40.
You're going to be 245.
Yeah, it's he's handled it very, very well.
So what does that put him at, like 22? Is that the quick math?
Quick math, either at 22, 23. So he's somewhere around there.
Yeah, why not?
Whatever. In his young, you know, I think I can handle life, but I'm still kind of young phase. And, you know, I love that you actually get to hear how much younger he is than her, because he acts a little immaturely in this episode. So it's good to – not that that age is necessarily immature. Here I am.
Oh, no. It's immature.
In my 33rd year of life. And I'm like, oh, man, when I was 23.
When I was 23, I was too busy.
I don't even want to know what you were doing.
Never mind.
I don't. You hadn't met me yet, and I did not get to show you this sparkling, shimmering, splendid world.
I think that was a year before I met you. That was a year before I met you. I was 23.
Yeah, it's a good thing I didn't meet you that year.
No.
From what I hear, yep, you had a lot of growing up to do. You would not have been a good laird.
No. I would have done exactly what Jamie did.
Yep. Okay.
get hammered.
So Jamie and Claire are heading on down to Lallybroch, and actually as they're approaching, we get a very interesting Instagram filtered flashback.
Oh.
I'm calling it Instagram filtered. I don't even know what I want to really call it. All I know is that anything that is red is what really shows through.
Oh.
It's like a sepia? Sepia?
Is it sepia? Is it sepia?
I think sepia. It's, why can't people just spell words that we understand and that we can actually say?
No color.
Brownish colors.
Yeah. Brown. That's what it is.
It's like a tan filter, except the reds really pop. So you got to see the red jackets, and you actually got to see a lot of like red blood.
Yeah, and almost the red coloring in the skin as well.
Yeah,
you know, and of course, all right, let's get all nerdy about it. Red being the color of danger, of love, almost. And you're riding that fine line of sanity and insanity. And I loved how they did it. Great, great editing. Great color editing. And you knew where you were. It highlighted specific things. It highlighted the fact that it was the British who were dominant. Red is the dominant color. British are the dominant people. Loved every second of that. What I don't necessarily like, though, is the general feel of this show. Meaning, every episode has, well, not every episode, but every other episode is essentially directed by a different director. Each of them have a different style. It doesn't flow. You've never seen a flashback of this style like this before in the show yet.
In this Instagram filter.
But even still, like the way they use the flashbacks, the way they cut them, the okay. quick cuts, you really haven't seen that kind of style out of this show yet. And while I love what they did, I absolutely loved how they handled it in this episode, there's no continuity. Say what you will about things like Marvel, or like Breaking Bad or Lost, or 24 or whatever, they all had continuity. Every episode felt like it was directed by the same person, like True Detective. True Detective is an outlier because it was directed by the same guy every single episode, all 8 or 10 or whatever it was. But I want more consistency out of the palette for this show.
Well, you need to give it some time to breathe. You know, you got to really watch those shows over multiple seasons. Mm-hmm. So these directors are just getting their feet wet Outlander.
Like, remember like the slow-mo scenes with the shinty game?
Yes.
Like you've never seen that since. Or like that weird tracking shot over the river. Like you haven't seen that since. Or these flashbacks. You haven't, like, you've seen flashbacks, but not in this
with
style.
With his coloring. Okay.
You know what I mean? While I loved it, I thought it was the most creative thing the show has done so far. And that is excellent. I wish they would go forward with it even more.
Okay.
But you just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll see more of it.
I hope so.
I hope so, too, because I really, really liked it. So, of course, this is weighing heavily on Jamie's mind, and maybe that's it, too. Maybe we haven't had a flashback necessarily. I mean, we did actually get to see this part as a flashback previously, but maybe this is going to be their new thing. So Claire tells Jamie, it's in your past, you know, mm-hmm. but let's move on. But Jamie's upset because he said, you know, my sister was raped by Black Jack Randall, mm-hmm. and rumor has it that she had his child. And they walk up to Lallybroch, and what do they see but a little boy?
Named Jamie.
And Jamie is very upset at this. He is not okay with it. And out comes Jenny, and Jamie just rips into his sister, who he hasn't seen for 4 years.
Yeah.
And he says, you think it's not bad enough that you have Randall's bastard, and then you name him after me? What in the world? Oh, my gosh. And then he notices she's pregnant, and who the heck knocked you up this time? You know, now you're going to have another bastard child. And oh, my gosh. Jenny, she is one fiery lady, but I wouldn't have even let my brother say that much.
Oh,
if he had been insulting me that much, I would have decked him.
I don't blame you. You would have went for the jugular guy. You would have been cutting throats.
Yes, out of control. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I mean, can you... All right, I'm not going to say that. I can't say that. Can you blame him? But can you understand Jamie's mindset as he's walking up there? It's supposed to be a happy time, but you're seeing all these flashbacks. You're getting cut. As you're walking up, you're being hit with this flood of emotion, this flood of memories. And even though Claire is saying, oh, yeah, it's time to move on, are you telling me that you're going to be able to move on?
Yeah, now it's rough time. And let's be honest, your siblings can rev you up in a way that no one else can. So
sure.
I love this because this is going on. And, you know, Jenny then says, you need to shut up or else I'm going to grab you by your balls. And then Claire starts talking. And
I don't think my sister has ever said that to me.
She calls Claire a trollop. Yeah. And then, you know, then he's mad at her and she's like, whatever, she's more familiar with your balls. I mean, there's a lot of like ball talk, very sibling-like.
Jenny essentially did like the finger snap. She's like, uh-uh, don't tell that trollop to shut up. Like, wow.
Or else I'm going to hurt you in a way that only your sister knows how.
She kind of went gangsta.
Yeah. Jenny don't play.
She went on... Homie, don't play that.
No. And then out walks lovely Ian.
Oh,
what a gentle, gentle-hearted Ian. Because, you know, of course, Jamie's like, whose baby do you have now? And Ian comes out and he goes, those are my kids.
Aww.
And it's like the sun comes out from the storm as Ian hobbles out, you know, one-legged. And Jamie just gets so excited to see Ian. There's a bromance. If you didn't get to pick up on that little smile.
Oh, there's a big bromance.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, Ian comes, as I said, the sun comes out, and things are alleviated a little bit.
You know what I can't believe you haven't gone into yet?
What?
My first outlandish theory of the week, as soon as I saw what happened.
Oh, my God. All of a sudden. Okay, so literally Blake. Okay, so Jamie and Claire are walking up to Lallybroch, and... You know, he's saying to Claire, oh, my sister was raped by Black Jack Randall and there was a kid. Blake all of a sudden pauses the show and looks at me and goes, oh, my God, here's my outlandish theory of the week. you ready for this? Okay.
Wait, when did
Jenny's baby is actually Frank's ancestor because that is Black Jack Randall's son. And now that means that Claire was married to someone who was related to Jamie. Oh my God. Outlandish theory. I got this. And I was like, wow, Blake. How soon into the show they were going to let you know that it was Ian's son. But I went, wow, Blake, that is interesting. And I played into it for a good minute. I was like, wow, baby, you are so smart. You've been hitting these outlandish theories out of the park. Yes, Frank is related to Jamie Fraser. No. You find out 1 minute later that it's Ian's son. So it was really a great, very short-lived outlandish theory of the week, Blake.
I felt good about it as I was saying it.
You didn't just feel good. You were like fist pumping in the air. You were like, oh my God, Frank's related to Jamie. Wow. And I'm like, yeah. Wow, Blake. Not.
I was ready to ring it. I was ready.
Bam. Just like that. A winner.
Nope.
Yeah,
sorry.
That was the shortest outlandish theory you've ever had. So moving on, continuing the recap. I'm glad you reminded me of that because I really loved that moment.
I just dug my own grave.
It was pretty awesome. So yeah, they just kind of start heading on into Lallybroch. And now that Jamie knows that his sister didn't end up having Black Jack Randall's baby, we get to actually learn a bit more about what happened during that time, for real.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, the sepia.
I'm going to go with sepia.
Sepia.
Let's do that.
Flashbacks.
If one of you guys are way smarter than me, just let us know what the word is.
How do you say this word? The sepia flashbacks come back. And I'm glad that they did this over flashbacks. And your favorite moment of the entire episode happened.
Like I said, listen, I love Black Jack Randall. And anytime I see him on screen, it is electrifying. It really is. Now, whether or not you like him as a character or not, you cannot tell me Tobias Menzies doesn't command the screen as Black Jack Randall. And you cannot tell me that he is a successful character. You hate him so much because he is so despicable. But that's the point, and that's why I love him so much. Because he actually gives you something to really, really hate against. And what did he do? He brings Jenny up there after he says, like, look at me, come follow me. He just very quietly, again, taking his time, the show taking its time, just like kisses her. Like, he doesn't really even kiss her, but then he just takes his finger and he just like sticks it in her mouth. And I'm glad he didn't kiss her and he didn't really get lovey with her because he is incapable of that kind of intimacy. And like plays with her lips and like
had blood on his finger.
Yeah, like right, because from Jamie, right?
Yeah.
And you notice that because of the red hues that they're highlighting. And what I mean, how invasive, like it was even more invasive than like the knife against the nipple thing with Claire, right?
Yes.
It was like he was like choking her a little bit. He was just commanding his presence over her, his domination over this woman. He can just do whatever he feels like. Can you get into that mindset, like, of just...
I don't want to.
No, but just know how awful this person is. Like, I'm going to stick my finger in your mouth. Ugh. Like, it reminded me of that show Sherlock when the guy at the end of season 3 is like, "Can I just flick your face? I just want to flick your face. Can I just do that? I'm going to do it." And he starts flicking Watson's face. That's what Black Jack Randall is doing. He's just doing whatever he feels like. And as creepy and as gross as it was fascinating television. And like, what's even better is I heard that it wasn't even scripted. He just did it. He just stuck his finger in this woman's mouth.
So creepy.
Oh my God. Well, like, I love getting in this guy's mindset, as crazy as it sounds.
Well, he wants Jenny to look at him, and Jenny then gets that candlestick and then starts kind of the physical attacks that they have on each other. And holy smokes, Black Jack Randall he's one tough guy. So she, you know, tries to hit him and good luck. You know, he's going to whack you senseless, throws her on the bed and starts undressing and pulls out what some have called little Jack Randall. You like
sorry.
That?
Sorry. You know,
LJR. Who needs Google when I can now have LJR?
Oh, my God. Oh, my sweetheart.
You love me.
I love you so much. Listen, I know that the little Jack Randall isn't like the most, you know, unique name, but it's hysterical.
Yeah.
That caught me off guard. It was that good.
So, okay, now that we're here, this caused a lot of controversy. First off, people did not believe that this was a real this little Jack Randall.
LJR.
Yeah, they didn't think it was a little Tobias. So it is. It has been confirmed, as I've said, from both Diana and pretty much Tobias, that was not a prosthetic. Wouldn't that be so awkward if you were an actor who was not very okay with your size and was like, okay, I'll totally do the scene. But you know the people that made Jamie's back, that bit, that big prosthetic, can they make me a prosthetic little Jack Randall that looks a little bit bigger than mine?
Wow.
No. So, no, that was Tobias. And I was shocked.
How do you feel about this?
Okay. So, really, you don't get to see male nudity on television.
Like we said, yep.
We really don't. I remember there was one scene in Sex and the City where one guy, like, dove off a diving board and you saw something swing in the wind and I was like, whoa, that's the first penis I've seen on television. And then in Game of Thrones, there was one scene where a slave was walking and you saw a little dangling.
You saw Hodor's junk too.
Oh yes.
You saw
yes.
Hodor.
But aside from that, you really don't see the male frontal. Yeah. Exactly. So not only to see it, but it was a very uncomfortable way to see it. It wasn't necessarily Jamie and Claire having sex and you see Jamie's male bits. This was actively a gentleman trying to arouse himself, having difficulty with it and seeing the frustration with it. So I'm glad that they did it because this, of course, was talked about in the books and you needed to understand this because not only was it not working, but by Jenny laughing at him, that was the worst thing she could have done to him. You know, to belittle him and to not allow him to feel like he was in charge, like he was in power, and to show that that physically was not arousing him. I was glad that they did it rather than just have her say it out loud.
Sure.
You know, it took it to a whole different level because you were uncomfortable, and this show has really started to push those boundaries sexually. And of course, now women are being attacked both physically and sexually. And the book goes there. And so it's really, I think it is very brave of the show to do something like this. Granted, the conversations have been, was that real? Was that not real? But in my opinion, it just showed you that Jenny was able to be strong against Black Jack Randall in a moment that normally a woman in her situation would not have been.
And how great was it when she's like, I didn't even think about it. I didn't even know to do it. I just knew that it made him uncomfortable. So I kept doing it. I kept laughing at him. And the other great thing about this too is that BJR, what they are fleshing his character out. The thing that you can finally realize now is that he does not like to be in a position where he isn't in charge.
Isn't scarily in charge. Like, he is a true sadist.
Yeah, like getting back to when he was whipping Jamie, when Jamie won't give in, and he realizes people are laughing at him. Like, you have this continuing theme again, people laughing at him during the whipping scene. He just, his eyes bugged out and he freaked out. And that's when he went to town on Jamie. And again, now we have Jenny laughing at this guy. And he is trying to do what he needs to do, and that's when he freaks out and just shoves her head up against the pole and knocks her out.
Yep. And she wakes up and he's gone.
But it's good that they are giving him something more than just being an awful person. Like, I mean, he is an awful person. There's no way around it. I mean, you have to accept that as a character. But there's texture to his awfulness. He's not just wholly bad just for being wholly bad's sake. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I like that. I like how they're continuing to portray it. Even going further, when he's speaking with Jamie, he's not... When Jamie says later on, oh, it's personal with him, now you know why it's personal.
Yeah.
Because Jamie just literally said, no, I'm not going to be your boy toy. They're giving him things to flesh that evilness out.
One thing that I wanted to point out during this scene when Jenny's talking is that Whiskey has come back in the picture. While we've been back with the second half of the season, Claire really hasn't been drinking that much. She hasn't been Sassenach wasted. And when I saw the whiskey start to flow, I went, uh-oh.
Here we go.
Claire is going to start doing things she's not supposed to do. And sure enough, while the four are sitting and chatting, Claire starts to open her mouth a little bit and starts to reprimand Jamie in front of his sister and in front of Ian. Mm-hmm. And Jamie has to pull her aside and say, listen, I'm Laird and you are my lady. And you got to not... put me down in front of my sister, in front of all these servants. You know, my issue between my sister is mine. And if you want to talk about something, you got to do it in private. And I loved this conversation. Mm-hmm. I loved it. Blake and I have had these conversations many a time about how, even as parents, we don't want to necessarily fight or disagree about, especially like children topics, in front of the kids. That... in front of our families. If we actually disagree about something, we'll just say, we'll talk about it later. Mm-hmm. And we can flesh it out on our own terms, behind closed doors, without anyone knowing. But to the world, you as a married couple need to be a unified front. And mm-hmm. even though Claire is older, and Claire has been married, Claire does not know this lesson.
No, she doesn't.
And I'm happy that this was a very mature thing of Jamie to say. Mm-hmm. And he even talked about Colm's wife. And he said, you know, she's revered. She's a serious woman, but you will not see her in public say anything bad mm-hmm. about Colm or disagree with him. But behind closed doors.
Different story.
Girlfriend can punch him out. And that's, of course, when Claire, you know, says, well, I have a better, she pretty much says, I have a better right hook.
Yeah, a better throwing arm than than good Letitia.
Yes, yes. So I liked the scene. I thought it was really cute. And of course, Claire says, I'm not the meek and obedient type.
I'm not the meek and obedient type.
And I wanted Jamie to look at her and go, no shit, Sherlock. Yeah. They pretty much did. You know, it was a cute little smile as well. So they go back to the sitting room and Jenny then starts to get into the real details. Mm-hmm. Saying, hey, so you're here and you have a price on your head. How is this going to go down? And Jamie and Claire go into about how the Duke of Sandringham is going to be sponsoring a pardon.
There's no way. I don't think this is going to go through.
Well, we'll just have to see.
I don't think it's going to go through.
And then Jenny does a little jab and says, I never thought you'd be so trusting of the English. A lot of people didn't like how mean Jenny came off in this episode. I love it because my sister-in-laws hate me. And I was sitting here being like, wow, this is a true in-law relationship, man. If you don't get along well with your in-laws and you're watching this, you see, like, girls can be so mean. You mm-hmm. know, whether it's a mother-in-law or sister-in-law, like girls in general, even if you're friends, are protective.
Every girl's a bitch.
Every single girl. I mean, I've even met some of Blake's college friends who didn't get to know me, and they are so protective over Blake.
Ugh.
And I've not done anything mean. I've never done anything mean to any of these people. Mm-hmm. But girls, they do. They get their talons up. And this land is my land, that is my brother, and I'm going to put you in your place, girlfriend.
Well, also, too, think of this. Claire just shows up. She starts talking to Jenny's kid. Hey, who are you? What's your name? And then they have that cute little bit where Jenny says Jamie and everything. But also, she's English. And Jenny has been mistreated by English people a lot.
The Scottish don't really like the English right now.
So... listen, guys, back off Jenny a little bit here. Back up. Back that train up, okay? Let's slow the roll, okay? Pump the brakes. Because I can't blame her for getting on Claire this way.
Okay.
I really can't.
Okay.
We got some girl bitch action going, but we also got the Scottish and English thing going on too. And
how disappointed, like, girl trollop action going on.
How disappointed do you think Jenny is in Jamie for marrying an English lady? Or do you think it's just...
Well, Jenny's also been caught off guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been 4 years.
He just shows up.
He was alive.
Yep.
He gets a chest and they're like, I guess Jamie's coming home. What is going on? Like, yep. I am so confused. So Jenny hasn't had a lot of time to let this soak in. And as a stubborn Taurus like myself, you know, I don't know. Jenny may not be a Taurus, but just as a stubborn person, when things like that come out of the blue and you've been managing a household or doing your job, and then all of a sudden you're going to have a really big shakeup in your world, it takes a while to let it soak in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're gonna be a little abrasive.
Mm-hmm.
So I get you. We can't put Jenny down too much. Jenny is a very strong-willed Fraser, mm-hmm. and that's part of their qualities.
Included that in the beginning of the show, that sound. But, you know, as much as I loved the BJR scenes and how they're portraying that character, what Tobias Menzies is doing with that character, one of the other favorite scenes that I have is what comes up next, is when they go back to the Laird's room and Jamie is saying things about his dad and talking to Claire. And it's great because Claire last episode got a chance to confess to Jamie almost. Well, actually she did, about being from the future and telling him about the future and telling him who she really is. And now in this episode, we have the exact opposite of that. It's turned itself around.
Jamie's backstory.
Jamie telling Claire who he really is. And we know who Jamie is from, you know, like in an indirect way. But you don't see him be honest until we get to that scene about the sword. And I have a clip here that I want to play.
I'd hardly tiptoe in here as a boy. So sacred was the Laird's room. But I'd slip in when he was out at the fields. Just to hold it for a few moments. Dream of the day it would be mine.
It is yours now, Jamie.
Okay, this is huge. This is absolutely huge because as much as this show was about Claire, this episode is entirely Jamie's episode. It's all about him. It's all about his journey going from Lallybroch to Castle Leoch under duress, and then now coming back and fulfilling his role that he expects to fulfill. And he has to take over his dad's...
This is his daddy issues episode.
This is the daddy issues episode. And again, making Jamie a real character, making him fall into traps that he can't avoid. Listen... Coming from experience, my dad in his world is the absolute man. He runs my company. He runs it. He's earned a lot of money doing the things that he's done. Everybody, no matter where they go, they respect this man. And I cannot tell you how awful it is sometimes to be in that shadow, to try to do things on your own, to be the man that you got to be. But everyone's saying, oh, yeah, but you know, your dad, he knew how to get things done. You're not your dad. And can you imagine Jamie's frame of mind as he's coming back to Lallybroch, knowing that he has to fulfill his duty of being Laird, and I'm going to be the man, I'm going to do this, and always wanting to be in that room, always wanting to have that sword, imagining all these things. He can't help but stumble and fall. He can't help but wish that he was his dad. And let me tell you, I know this. I know this because I did this. I wanted to be my dad. And imagine how terrifying it is when you realize you're not your dad. That's awful.
Well, then on top of this, we of course get another flashback to Fort William, and we learn that Jamie honestly feels like his dad died and it was his fault.
Mm-hmm.
We see this beautiful interaction between Brian, Jamie's father, and Jamie before Jamie goes and sees Black Jack Randall.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lovely moment shared between the two of them. Of course, this is where Black Jack Randall makes it very clear to Jamie that he would like to use his body
yep.
in return for no flogging. Jamie doesn't because of his dad.
Yeah, knowing that his
dad... He doesn't
want
to disappoint him.
Yeah, knowing his dad would not be proud of him, that BJR would break him. And I also have a clip here, too, of BJR speaking about this and how matter-of-fact he is about it, almost. And how it's very nuanced. Just listen, here he goes.
I'm afraid he was disappointed when I told him your charges are of such a serious nature that you cannot be bonded without a written clearance from the Duke of Argyle. The thing is, even if he does succeed in getting such a clearance, which I doubt, it would be impossible for him to make it back in time. So, it's a shame that you and I have got off to such a poor start. It's quite simple. Give over to me. Make free of your body. And there will be no second flogging.
How freaking sadistic is that? I mean, really. I mean, that is something. I mean, just going from, hey, you know, your dad could do this, but either way, it's still going to suck. And the only way that you're going to be able to get out of this is if you let me, you know, go to Pound Town.
I wanted Jamie to turn around and go, so what's option B?
Yeah.
How about option C? I choose D.
You know, like, but it just, I know, and I keep harping on this, but it's just so layered. It's so textured. I mean, going from being so matter of fact and almost speaking like this was old hat and he laying it out for Jamie. It's scary. I mean, it is really scary. BJR is one of the scariest characters I've seen on television.
I would agree.
He is terrifying. He's terrifying in a Ben Linus kind of way, where, well, no, Ben Linus was smarter. I think he's terrifying in like a Hannibal Lecter kind of way. He's smart and he is just going to do what the hell he wants.
You can't predict anything with him.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
I mean, I definitely did not see that coming.
No.
No.
That was
not an outlandish
theory of yours.
Yeah. I wish I had got that outlandish theory because...
No, I'm glad you didn't. I'm glad you didn't see this coming, and I'm glad that all non-book readers didn't see this coming because it really adds another layer, as you said. And so Jamie, of course, chooses to take the lashing. He passes out because of all the pain. His dad thinks he's died. And his dad dies.
Pretty much
has a heart attack right there. Exactly.
Yep.
And so now Jamie's sad because he thinks that his father died and it was his fault.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Such guilt, man. That's intense.
I can't imagine that. That must be hard. You know, I had a lot of guilt when my mom died, but I knew it was out of my control. I knew it had nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with the fact that I wasn't there or whatever. She just died.
And but, Jamie didn't even see him.
Yeah, and he had no idea that it happened. But when you get that final result of, yeah, he had a heart attack because he saw the state of your back. Wow. I mean, just awful. And you can only understand why he has daddy issues. I mean, going from wishing he had that Viking sword to now his dad dying and coming back and trying to fulfill the role of Laird, he's got issues.
He's got some big shoes he wants to fill. So
yeah.
He wakes up the next day and it's quarter day. It's the day to collect the rents.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you noticed this, but Jamie was wearing a very different jacket.
I did notice this.
He was wearing his dad's jacket.
Oh my God, more daddy issues.
And he's talking to the tenants and Claire, of course, was a little nervous because this is a public matter. Like now everyone knows Jamie's home. They're giving him gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And Claire gets a vase.
One that is very similar looking to the vase that she saw in Sassenach, the first episode.
I cannot wait for Etsy shops to start making these vases.
Oh my God, I know.
I want a Claire vase. I'm just going to throw it out there. I want one of these vases. They are so beautiful.
And how great is that? She, in the beginning of the episode, the first episode, she's talking about finding a home, finding a vase, finding something that was solid. And here she is finding the vase.
She's calling Lallybroch home.
Yeah, she's everything about Lallybroch is screaming home to her.
Yes.
The vase, calling it home, Jamie, the key on her ring, everything is home to her. And how even better it is at the end of the episode when Jamie disappears. It's almost a pipe dream that it's not supposed to exist.
Well, before you get there, how do you feel about these tenants? You know, how do you feel about the trusting of Quarterday? Of course, Jenny says that not a man, woman, or child would think about betraying Jamie to the Redcoats at any price. And here they are, meeting all of their tenants, having everybody over for a party, pretty much. Do you trust these tenants?
No, I don't. I don't trust them.
Why?
I really don't. Because for the very fact that they went ahead and said, oh, well, nobody's going to betray Jamie here. These are our tenants. They
that
love
was
us
Captain
like
Obvious to you?
Like, come on now. Like, time out. Like, really? No. That's a poor storytelling choice. They should not have done that. But more importantly, if he were indeed fully capable of trusting all of these people, if he could, in fact, live freely without reproach, then why the hell did he leave in the first place?
Because he didn't have this Duke of Sandringham thing hanging over him. I think he thinks this is going to happen really quickly.
Yeah, but no, that aside, because we're talking about people, him being able to trust the town folk.
Yeah, but the Redcoats walk around, as we got to see later in the episode.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he does trust his people.
Yeah, but the issue that you have, though, is he still doesn't have this letter from the Duke of Sandringham. The Duke of Sandringham has not done anything to BJR yet.
Yeah, he's put the cart before the horse a little bit.
Like, okay, so what are you doing getting there, being there and existing there, when you know that you probably should?
Well, he's having a lot of whiskey and being the best laird he thinks that he can be. Oh, you can't pay rent? No rent for anybody. Money and whiskey for everyone.
He's like Oprah. Everybody gets a prize. You get a gift.
Oh, my God. Someone needs to make that on Tumblr.
Yeah.
The Oprah meme, but with Jamie's face on it.
Please, guys. One of you. I know one of you is smart enough to do it.
Oh my goodness. This is how you piss off your sister. This is how you piss off Jenny, who said to him, listen, we've had a bad year. We need this money. But Jamie doesn't care.
Yeah, he's everybody's getting a gift. Getting a gift. I'm giving a gift. You know, like,
he's like, Jenny, I'm wearing my dad's coats. I'm the laird.
Don't
right
you
now.
Know who I am?
Yes.
Don't you know I have daddy issues?
In the midst of his not collecting rent and just drinking all day, Claire, who is also drinking, because she makes great choices when she drinks, decides, oh no, look at that little boy trying to eat a very bad biscuit, pretty much, because, you know, they're being ground by hand. And his dad's beating him because he's taking something he shouldn't. And she just gets in the middle of it. Sticks her nose in there and says, excuse me.
Can I help you?
Why don't I take him off your hands? You can go play with your friends. I'm going to take this boy with me. And she takes him inside, of course, little Robbie McNabb. And Jenny and she find out that this is not the first time this kid's dad has hit him.
He is getting, like, beat Radio Flyer style.
Really badly beaten. So they take care of Robbie a bit. And Jamie, during his partying, comes up to Claire and she's like, Jamie, oh my gosh, do you see? Rabbi is being beaten by his dad. We need to do something, Jamie. And Jamie kind of walks away a little bit and mm-hmm. Claire looks mad. But it did stick because later that night.
Hold on, no. I got it. Let's just play it. Here we go.
Tried to reason with him, but in the end, I'd show him the difference between abuse and discipline, huh? With these. And then I said to him, Ronald, if I ever see any evidence of you harming your wee laddie, you'll have to answer to Laird Broch Tuirach, huh? That's me, huh?
Yes, I know.
Drunk Jamie is my favorite Jamie.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait for Bear to talk about the music that he wrote for Drunk Jamie.
Oh, great stuff.
Those string instruments, they were having a blast just playing and sliding on those strings because Drunk Jamie is funny.
He is great. Talking about elephants.
No, because Claire brought it up, pretty much saying you're as loud as an elephant. He's like, have you ever seen an elephant?
She's like, yeah, I rode on one too.
And I just love when she pushes him away. And he's spanking her. He thinks he's so funny. He thinks he's so strong and witty. Oh. Passes out right away.
And it's such a facade. And I know we're being funny about it right now. And I can appreciate the humor in this episode. But, I mean, just Jamie, oh, my God, with his dad and all of this. The thing that's really telling about this scene, it is funny, but what's really telling is something my dad always told me, which was, if you're going to tell somebody you're the boss, trust me, you ain't the boss. And again, this is getting to my own daddy issues and all the things that I have to deal with, but this is real for Jamie. Him really feeling guilty about his dad and guilty knowing that he is not his dad. No matter what he does, he is never going to live into that. And all he's trying to do is be that.
Well, you know who puts him in his place?
Who's that?
Is Jenny the next morning when we have hungover Jamie.
hungover Jamie is good, too.
Who hates his bread once again. Jenny comes in and says, are you kidding me? You didn't even collect any rent? And he says, I'm laird of this estate now. I don't need to discuss the running of it with my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how she was like, oh, yes, Laird Bractura. Like, mm-hmm. pretty much spit in your face. Good luck, buddy. Poor Jamie, he just does not have an easy time around women. He does not hang out with pushover women.
I love what he was talking about, how the bread was made out of pebbles. How about that poor lady, dude? The poor servant.
She probably spent 5 hours hand grinding.
Oh.
Because the mill is broken.
I know.
And Jamie's just spitting it out, pissed off. Like, you saw her poor little look. It was like, she just sat there and thought, oh, I thought I made the laird the best bread that I could make. I ground it with my own hands. And he just spit it out and runs off to go fix the mill himself.
Oh.
So he's trying to fix the mill and decides, I gotta go fix it underneath the water. I'm gonna go take off my clothes.
I'm gonna do it because that's what I would do.
Yeah, I'm the laird.
I can do this.
I can fix everything. I'm gonna get to this freezing cold pond. And all of a sudden, Jenny comes over to Claire. The redcoats are coming. The redcoats are coming. Quick, hide Jamie's tartan. Let's just sit here and pretend we're playing with dandelions. Don't talk.
Like, how awful was that? Like, hey, just sit down.
Well, you know what's great is that back in those days, men wouldn't have thought twice. They would have been like, oh, look at those silly, silly Scottish women playing in the grass. Like, they, you know, whatever. They're just being cute and coy. And they say, sorry, sir, you know, we don't have any grain for you. Our mill's broken. And we don't think you can do anything here. So carry on. Carry on.
Oops.
Except one guy totally knows all about mills.
How? I don't know, but he does.
He's like, I actually have a degree in mills.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
My family were all millers.
Let me just hop off my horse and dive into the water where Jamie can see me. I'm surprised that guy couldn't see Jamie.
I know, right?
I loved the underwater shots, but I'm like,
good POV. Yep.
If you really were there, Jamie, he would have seen you. You're pretty fair skinned. Mm-hmm. You would have shown up in that water.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God Jamie pulls a fast one.
Thank God he's like a Navy SEAL and can hold his breath that long.
Yeah, yeah. They actually talked about that in the book, how well he can hold his breath.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which also, remember that day when he jumped off Fort William and he was able to swim and everything?
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, he's a strong breather. But he gets the mill going just in time. And the Englishman thinks that, oh, this shirt that came out of nowhere, this is what's stuck it. Really, it's Jamie's shirt. And I loved how, you know, one of the gentlemen said, how did this get here? And he said, they're Scottish.
It's Scotland. the dismissive attitude. It's almost like the plastics again. Like,
yes.
You know, it's just, yeah, it's Scotland. That's
of course, they'd get their clothes stuck in a mill. Yeah, that's smart. So they ride off, thank God. And Jamie comes out of the water carrying his little Jamie Fraser.
LJF.
Yeah, he's covering those bits. But the thing that you need to know is another thing. In the book, it's not his shirt.
Okay.
It's like actually his dad's old underwear that was stuck in it.
Wait, he's wearing his dad's old underwear?
No, like that's what's stuck in the mill.
Oh, wait. How does Dad's underwear get stuck in there?
Once again, they're in Scotland. It's I don't know. But the thing, because people are like, oh, why was Jamie? Why did his shirt come off? The important thing to know is that Jenny needed to see Jamie's back.
Yes.
This was not a gratuitous, look how hunky Sam is. Look how big he is.
All right. Well, let's calm down because that's what it was too. This is like Jacob taking his shirt off in Twilight to fix Bella's cut, her minuscule little cut on her head.
The point of this was for Jenny to see his scars.
Yes.
Okay, so it's different in the book, but you needed to have that moment where Jenny realized, holy crap, my brother was flogged probably
savagely.
Almost to death. Yeah. It finally hits her, and they needed this moment because later they're at the graveyard and, you know, Jamie is paying his respects to his father's grave, and he and Jenny finally open up and both apologize. And this is when Jenny says, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that it was that bad, and seeing your back today, I am so sorry because I think that's my fault. I think because I did not go easily to Black Jack Randall, that's why your back was marred so much, that's why Dad might have died. Like, I've blamed you all this time, and I'm so sorry.
And, you know, it's great because the reaction, the interaction between Jenny and Jamie, it is completely relatable. It is completely real. I mean, the way that they wrote it, you can see that happening. Trust me, again, I work with my family, and I work with my sisters, and believe me, the attitudes towards each other can be very vindictive and awful, and it can get very ugly very quickly. I mean, you know, you got a brother.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I can fight so nasty with my brother.
Yeah.
You've had to hear me, and a couple of my best friends who've lived with me, they are like, Mary, we had no idea you could get so nasty.
I know.
I said, you can only get nasty with family.
My favorite story between you and your brother is the one with the Legos.
Oh, no.
Yes. Come on. Just tell it real quick.
Okay. So my brother and I, when we were kids, we were fighting. And I was just like, just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. And I like closed my door. And he kept sticking his hand in my door. And I closed my door in his hand. It was his own fault. I swear to God. Like, I didn't try to hurt him. But
sure,
he went to my mom. And he's saying, Mary hurt me. Mary hurt me. So I got in a lot of trouble because I'm the big sister. And I hurt my brother. And I was so mad. I thought, how do I get back in this little trip? So my brother was really big into Legos, and he had this massive castle. All Lego lovers right now are going to hate me for the rest of time. I went into our utility room, which is where he kept his finished pieces, because, you know, he was one of those people.
Like he glued it together?
He didn't glue it together, but, like, wanted it to be, you know, perfect condition, out of harm's way. So I took a bat, and I smashed it. And I walked away. And later that day, you know, we hear this scream and what happened. And my parents are like, oh, my God, what was it? And I said, it must have been the cat. It's near the litter box. It must have been the cat.
Oh, God.
And my brother looked at me with these eyes like, I know it was you.
Yep.
And I looked at him right back saying, damn straight.
Yep, it was me.
But to my cat. To my parents.
It was the cat.
And to this day, it is. I feel kind of bad for it, but not really. Because that is a sibling fight where it's like, you don't mess with me because I know how to get you at your core, okay? Mm-hmm. Jenny knows how to grab Jamie's balls, and I knew my brother's balls were his Legos.
Yeah.
And I smashed those suckers, right? But this is just it. Like, your siblings can rile you up in no other way, and yet they can also forgive you in an instant. And oftentimes, it's those ways that you're most alike. And I loved one of the scenes in this episode where Ian and Claire bond a bit about the family that they've married into.
Yeah, and why we played that first bit of sound in the intro. Because ultimately, that's what this episode is about. It's about Jamie and how does Claire...
I'd say it's about Jamie and Jenny.
You think so? I don't know. I think it's Jamie's journey and Jenny is a part of it. Jenny is the one who is the, you know, antagonist almost, getting him to do things that he doesn't necessarily want to do. but he can't help but do.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I can see that. I can see you as seeing it as a Jamie episode. Maybe it's because I'm a book reader and I know how important and how deep Jenny's character gets.
Sure. And I'm not saying that Jenny is but unimportant. But I am saying that this was Jamie's ride. The arc went from Jamie being Jamie to trying to be his dad, then coming back down and saying, no, I have to be something else. I have to be me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the arc. And it took Claire and it took Ian to tell Claire, you have to kind of give this guy a kick in the ass because he's stubborn.
Yeah.
And so that's what I have to do for my wife. Yeah.
Their hearts are as big and soft as their heads are thick and strong.
Mm-hmm.
Man. You just don't know what you're going to get sometimes.
Exactly.
They're bullheaded, but they're really loving. Mm-hmm. These soft-hearted Frasers.
And I almost feel like Ian is the calming force from now on. I mean, he's just going to be like, you know what, guys? Time out. Let's take a chill pill here. Everything's going to be okay.
And I liked this because Claire and Ian now got to bond.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love both of their characters. And in the end, of course, Jenny and Jamie have reconciled. And they've said, you know, it's not your fault. It's not my fault. It's Black Jack Randall's fault that our father died. Both exactly. of us have been blaming each other or have been upset with ourselves and battling. And really, we just have one person to blame, and that is Black Jack Randall.
And sitting in front of their father's grave, no less, he's accepting his father's death. He's accepting, you know, a role that he either did or did not play in it. And he's accepting of the fact that his role in life going forward has to be his own. He's accepting that he can't be his dad. Otherwise, he's going to end up right in front of himself in that grave because he can't be his dad. He'll be, you know, so I'll say that the people are good at bullshit. You can't bullshit someone for too long.
Okay.
You know what I mean? When you get in high tense, high stress situations, you are going to be who you are. And people will call you out real quick.
Yep.
And are you telling me that if he was going to try to be his dad this entire time, someone's not going to call him out like that? Someone's not going to be like, you are a mess. And,
well, it was a sister, and that's who's the right person to do it.
That's what I'm saying. And that's why all of this relationship building, where the show really, 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 really succeeds in these characters, the twists and the turns are great. Galis is a traveler. It's all great story. But it's the characters that drive it. You don't care about anything if you don't know that Jamie has these daddy issues. You don't care about Jamie, the character, as much because there's nothing to grip onto. And this is the episode that made you care about the characters.
Because it made you stop. It made you learn about familial love
mm-hmm.
and also about marriage.
Yeah.
And about standing by your man, even if you don't want to stand by what he's saying. And speaking about marriage, they finally said I love you to one another.
That's right. You know what? Let's just let it speak for itself.
I wanted you from the first moment I saw you, but I loved you. When you wept in my arms that first night at Leoch. Now I wake up every day and I find that I love you more than I did the day before.
I love you.
How big is that?
Huge.
That is big time
stuff.
I mean,
we've of course known this, but it's huge that it's now out and they can take it to the next level of their relationship.
And I was disappointed in the fact that they have not said the word love yet until I listened to Matt Roberts, that conversation that we had. If you haven't got a chance yet, please listen to the interview that we had with Matt Roberts a couple of episodes ago, the writer and producer of Outlander. He said that you could take the word vow and, you know, interchange that word with the word love for Jamie.
Yeah.
And knowing how far Jamie is willing to go, going from vow to now even saying outright love, this is big. This is huge for this character. all at home, all with all of this baggage happening, he's turning inward and saying, we're a team and I love you.
And I love that round ass.
Yeah. And that hot head. But really, really great stuff, though. Knowing that they are finally going forward as a team. You know, we're getting back to the conversation that he had at the beginning of the episode, and now falling back to the ultimate basis for any marriage, just love.
Well, and in general, too, you know, Jamie's been a man on the run. He's been a single guy. Yes, he's been hanging out with the Mackenzies, but honestly, he's been sleeping with the horses. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just been trying to keep his head down, his nose out of things. And this episode shows you, Jamie, you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
You've got family. You've got extended family. You've now got your wife. And they're going to hold you accountable for when you mess up. But also, they're going to help you grow and grow into become the man that you were meant to be.
Exactly. Exactly. And then that is the beauty behind this episode. And knowing that Jamie is really actually real. He's real.
He's real. And then they leave you on a cliffhanger.
Yeah. And you know, I'm not sure how I feel about this cliffhanger.
Do you know who these people are?
I have a...
These guys holding a pistol?
I have an outlandish theory of the week.
Okay.
I'm gonna get involved with that. But it...
Would you have been happier if you just left it with them saying, I love you, and walking to bed?
Yes, because the arc had fulfilled itself. You knew at the beginning of the episode that the issues with Jenny were not going to last. Because they can't. They're not. They shouldn't last. That's his family. You need to resolve that. The issue with Claire has been resolved. The issue with him pretending to be his father has resolved. And then all of a sudden you have these guys just show up and Jamie's missing. It seemed like it was just tacked on at the end. It seemed like, oh, we don't know how to conclude this episode. We want people to tune in next week. So how do we lead them to come in the next week? Oh my God, people are going to kill me when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's lazy writing.
Ooh.
It's lazy writing.
Okay, I won't go that far, but I will agree with you that this is part of the reason why it wasn't a 5-star or 5-kilt.
Yeah, it felt tacked on. And Ann Kenny, who wrote this episode, I mean, God love you. She is very good at what she does. And I understand that she is a far better writer than I'll ever be. I'm not even a writer. I'm barely even a podcaster. But it just felt like it was tacked on.
Do you know who these men are as a non-book reader?
I'm going to save it for my old managed theory of the week.
Oh, okay.
But it felt like it was, I don't know, it was just thrown in there because they had to. You know, it would have been great to see Claire wake up in the next episode and then him be missing.
I agree. That's how I would have chosen it too. I would have allowed it to just continue to breathe with Jamie realizing you don't need to be the big man, the big laird. You will become that. With your family.
The story fulfilled itself.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I feel like he and Jenny coming, you know, to reconciliation, and then he and Claire verbally saying, love you, that would have been enough.
Yeah. Allow that to be.
Yeah.
You know, and we know things are coming down the road. We also know that things happened. This episode, again, was all about a breather. You know, and finding out who Jamie is, allowing Jamie to go along that road. You can't undermine that entire arc by having these guys just show up. It didn't feel right to me. Sorry, and if you're listening, I apologize, but it just didn't feel right to me.
It's okay.
It's lazy writing.
You loved the rest of it.
I did. I really liked this episode a lot. 4 kilts for me.
Awesome. Well, let's see what everyone else thought about this episode. Our Instagram feedback was hardcore this week. Super Chiva Girl said that she loved the part where they say, I love you, and the elephant talk. Sin Lee F said it was pretty awesome. Just didn't expect to see so much of BJR. Hashtag naughty bits. Auntie Googie said, I love the way that we were able to breathe after the intensity of the last two episodes. I love the way this episode developed characters, wove relationships, provided exposition, created conflict and resolved. I also adore adored the sets of Lallybroch and would be happy to hang there for a while.
And Aunt Goggy, I actually have to agree with you on this bit a little bit. The show itself hasn't really figured out how to give you this exposition. It either it's doing it in flashbacks, or it's doing it in voiceovers, or it's doing it in just giving you the information with the characters saying it. It's been confused. If I were to choose one way, it'd be this way. It would be this way.
88 Sakura 88 said the interactions between the four were great. Much has happened to each individual and between one another as well. It felt tense but real as they found their way around one another and as backstory was filled in. It was good when Claire gave Jamie a talking to about how he had been behaving. He needed it. And on a lighter note, the drunk Jamie bit was funny and the English soldiers bit, how did that get stuck in the wheel? It's Scotland, sir. And our last Instagram comment for this week is by Deb Steinhardt. Deb loved that they got to see that Jamie was not perfect, but we can also see that he was gleeful by returning after all the years.
On Twitter, at Kendra Spring says, episode came gave us hashtag poppycock. Episode 12 gives us hashtag floppycock.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I prefer the former. I should have had you say that.
Oh, my
Damn
gosh.
It.
Seriously. Well, I'm just sticking with my little Jack Randall, my LJR.
D. Stewie says, Ian, does Claire drink whiskey? Hashtag Sassenach wasted.
Obviously. We even have a t-shirt. Okay, Ian, Claire is totally going to drink whiskey. The Ron and Terry Show tweeted, I thought this episode was awesome. The verbal lashing that Jenny gave Jamie was exactly how I imagine it would be. True brother and sister relationship, fighting for what is right and what is love between siblings.
Mm-hmm. Deborah Ross says, things you'd pay to unsee and things you don't want to ever forget you've seen all in one episode. Hashtag BJR, hashtag JAMP, hashtag frontal exposure.
Lola Opa said, how fun is drunk Jamie talking about elephants?
I know, it's so cute. Aww. I love drunk Jamie. Booth Farley says, couldn't get enough Jenny, but got way too much blackjack. Come on, even Game of Thrones hasn't dropped that kind of trowel. Oh.
And Myla Bhattacharjee says, of course the ladies are set upon by the one redcoat in all of Scotland whose father was a miller. Right?
Of course.
Of course.
Why not? And Scarlet Targaryen says, Jamie Fraser's pelvic muscle is my new religion.
Oh, your new religion. I don't even know what that means.
Are girls really like into that?
The pelvic muscle thing?
Yeah.
Some are.
Like, is that something that like you want? Should I really be like trying
no,
to get pelvic
no.
muscles?
I am so pregnant and not even close to having any. My muscles have been ripped apart that if you were to get now hardcore pelvic muscle, I would just have a real issue with myself.
Would
so
you be jealous?
I would. I'd be like, wow, I wish I had pelvic muscles. Instead, I just pee myself because I'm pregnant.
You just admitted to the world that you pee yourself every
Listen,
day.
Listen, women who've been there, they understand. Women who don't, I'm warning you. If you haven't been pregnant, you're going to pee yourself a lot. And then if you get a cold like me and you cough, just get diapers.
All right, what do we got on Facebook?
Facebook. Angie Coots loved having Jamie wear the same coat that belonged to his father, the coat that Brian died in wearing.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's a little morbid.
That's way morbid.
It was a symbolism of Jamie attempting to assume the mantle of leadership, otherwise known as lairdship, of Lallybroch, and having it not sit on his shoulders as easily as he always assumed it would.
And one of the questions I posed to our listeners was, did BJR affect Jamie? Like, did Jamie become the man he is because of BJR, or did he become the man he was because of Lallybroch? And Outlander Music said, suffering creates perseverance. Perseverance creates character. Jamie is a product of both the house that built him, his parents and Lallybroch, and the suffering he endures at the hands of Randall. Now, what do you think about that? Do you think that Jamie is a product or a derivative of BJR? Or is he a derivative of Lallybroch?
I'm a firm believer that everything you do in your life affects who you are.
That is such a vanilla answer.
What is that like? Every person is like a footstep. What is that? Or a chapter? I don't know.
I have no idea what
you're
talking about.
Okay? I think that everything makes who you are.
I think
every experience, every person. Jamie is the man that he is because of all of his experiences, period.
Yeah. I think BJR has had a larger role in Jamie's life than we all care to admit.
You just wait. That's all I can say. Nancy Daniels on Facebook said that couldn't there be just one episode where someone isn't after Claire or Jamie?
Yes.
I read the books. I know what happens and realize this is an adaptation and there's so much that needs to be crimmed into each show, but I was still disappointed with the ending.
Nancy, you could not have said it better. Like, I wish I could go back to what I said prior to this and just and like channel you, because yes, why does it always have to be Jamie and Claire on the run from somebody somehow? Allow this to just be, guys. Oh my God, Nancy, thank you so much for that. All right, kid, what do you want to get into the voicemails?
Let's hear your voices.
All right, let's do it.
Hi, Blake and Mary. This is Kelly from Sterling, Virginia. I'm calling in regard to Blake's comments last week about Stars playing the episode early, about the HD, about binge watching, and about the Community. First of all, I wanted to address the binge watching. I'm addicted to binge watching. It's like reading a good book late at night and you think, just one more chapter, just one more chapter. Finally, you find out it's 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. That's how I feel about binge watching. I'll watch an episode, one more episode, one more episode. I watch Outlander, binge watch it, but I watch it in real time too. But I love to go back and binge watch up until the next episode. The second thing I wanted to address was Blake said that it only came in HD for him when it previewed early. At my house, I get HD. So I'm not getting just SD, I'm getting it in high def, and I'm liking those 7 o'clock showings because here's how I look at it. He said that we're a community, and Blake, I love you. I love this podcast and I love the Community. But when I look at it, as you said, that we should all watch it in real time, that's kind of not realistic because my sister's on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. If I watch it in real time, she still has to wait 3 hours to watch it in her real time. So I don't see what a difference it makes if it airs an hour or 2 hours early for me. I'm still watching it on the same day as her, and we still all gather together at the end of the day to discuss the episode. So there's that. So I agree with most everything Blake says. I love your viewpoint. I love listening to you. As far as the non-book reader, I've read the books, all of them, 8 times. So I kind of know them inside and out. And to hear your perspective is so refreshing and so fun to listen to. I love your outlandish predictions. I love everything that you do. This is my favorite podcast. I listen to 3 Outlander podcasts, and you guys are my go-to. So I want to thank you for that. I want to congratulate you on the impending birth of your new baby daughter. And I'm so sorry that Mary's been so ill. I can relate to that. I was sick with my second child. I had a sinus infection for 6 months. And the no medications, oh, man, Mary, I'm so sorry.
I just want to step in here for just a minute and just say thank you so much for listening and actually saying that we are the favorite podcast of yours. And that's really high praise, actually. You know, we put a lot of work into this, and the podcasts that are out there for Outlander are all phenomenal. So, again, really high praise. And about the Community watching thing, is it a little old-fashioned of me? Yeah, probably. Is it totally practical? Is everybody watching it exactly at the same time? No, we're not. I mean, the people on the East Coast are getting it before West Coast. That's obvious. But I just don't like the fact that they release these episodes ahead of time, before the show airs. I don't mind people binge watching. I binged watch Breaking Bad. I did. I binged watched The Blacklist. I binge watched all of them. And that doesn't mean I don't enjoy them, but there's something romantic about watching it every week and waiting each time, waiting each week and discussing those episodes with our friends and our family And then allowing that show to soak into us and just getting it to get into your brain, and you're at work and you should be doing work and you're not, and you're just thinking about Outlander. And I always bring up Lost, and I'm sorry, I should have a Lost sound every time I bring it up. But I remember thinking about all the little twists and the turns and totally wasting every moment of my day on what Damon Lindelof was going to come out with next. And that's how I feel this show should be. You should be thinking about it. There's no need to binge watch it. Of course, you can binge watch episodes up to the current one, but you should be able to watch it every single week, and it should allow itself to happen on its own merit. That's the beauty and the romantic idea behind watching TV. And I admit, I am fully a slave to that idea.
Hi there. This is Brenda Spengler from California. And no, I think that Lollybrock saves Jamie from enduring pain from BJR. I don't think BJR makes Jamie into the person he becomes. I think rather the experience with BJR, it is an incredibly painful experience. And I'm sure that if it hadn't been for Lollybrock and his sense of his home and his father and his sister, his mother and his older brother, William, that he probably could have ended up with pretty severe PTSD from his experience with BJR. And of course, Claire. Claire's a great saver also. Those are my thoughts. Have a great day. Bye.
Hi, Mary and Blake. It's Nicole calling from Melbourne, Australia. Thank you so much for your podcast. It's fabulous to connect and engage with all the Outlander community after each and every episode, and I really love hearing everyone's views. I have a foot in each camp. Mary, I have read all of the books, but Blake, it was 20 years ago. So whilst I remember major storylines, I have forgotten some of the minor ones, so it's like I am watching it for the first time. Tonight's episode, I loved meeting Jenny. I thought Laura Donnelly was amazing and fantastic. I really enjoyed Jamie trying to assert himself as Laird back at Lollybrock. I did laugh at him climbing back into bed a little bit wasted, and enjoyed watching Claire adjusting to being a lady. It was just another fantastic episode, and I think it was wonderful because Mary finally heard Jamie and Claire say the L word, finally. So thank you again so much for your podcast. I think it's fantastic, and enjoy listening to the next one. Bye.
First off, Nicole, wow, Australia. That is unbelievable. We have listeners in Australia. Like, that just made my day. Anyway, yes. It's great that you get a chance to reintegrate with these stories, especially 20 years after reading them. Wow, that's unbelievable. Wicked cool. I'm so glad you get a chance to relive this along with us. And way awesome. And Brenda, great thoughts about BJR and how he has affected Jamie. I wonder, again, we've already said this, but how much the Lollybrock and BJR, they play off of each other. I think they both have a major player in Jamie's life, and it's hard to tell which. And that's why I asked the question to you guys. I wanted to know what you thought, and your thoughts are fantastic. Thank you.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Barb from Grand Rapids. I'm your history friend, calling to talk about episode 112. I absolutely loved it. It was so peaceful and so beautiful. So much natural beauty. Scotland is, I thought they couldn't find any more beautiful places in Scotland, but they did. And even the inside, all the interior scenes were just beautifully lit. It was just gorgeous. And I want to live at Lollybrock. Please, can I do that? I also adored the evolution of the relationship between Jamie and Claire now that both of them are totally honest and fully committed to the relationship. It was really beautifully done. I thought that all the characters were just excellent. They were fully fleshed out. And I loved to see how everyone was reacting to the situation now that Jamie and Claire are back. Jamie is, you know, fully fleshed out, trying so hard to be like his dad. The hostility between Jenny and Claire was totally understandable. Jenny was being dissed. She wasn't even being appreciated for all she had done in that 4 years that Jamie was gone. And then he comes back with a wife that she didn't even know about. She didn't even know Jamie was alive. And Claire was English? Are you kidding? Poor Jenny. So I totally understood all that. The only quibble I would have, because I'm a book reader from way, way back, so I was fleshing out Ian myself. I'm afraid that if you were just a show watcher, you might think that Ian was a little bit weak, and he's not. So I'd be interested, Blake, to see what you think about that. Anyway, thanks very much. I just enjoy so much everything you do and all your great interviews. You guys are just terrific. Thanks very much. Bye.
Bob, thank you so much for calling in, and that's awesome. I'm so glad that you're getting in touch with us. Let me say this about your idea about Ian. I think I respect Ian. Ian, to me, seems like a guy that has been through the ringer, and he knows his wife, and he knows his family, and he knows what he's doing, and he's smart, you know? And I don't see him as weak. I see him as though he is wise, really. And he chooses his battles, and he knows what to do. Maybe that's because I'm a guy, and I can relate to that. I love my wife. She's a Taurus. She's very stubborn. So I know when to push and when not to. And I can respect what Ian is saying. But going on that character, he's obviously been in war. He's obviously lost a leg. He knows what he's doing. And I feel like if Jamie respects him, I'm going to respect him. And that ultimately is my feeling on that. So hopefully that helps. I don't know. Hopefully. We'll see. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, I love what you guys are doing with the show. It's amazing. And I'm such a big fan. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for calling in. I wish I knew who you were, and that's why I wanted to include this, because when you hear this eventually, you'll know, oh, that was me, and I want to know who you are, and I want to give you credit for calling in, because it's awesome. Thank you so much. So yeah, next time, please let me know where you are and who you are and where you're from, so that way I can give you credit, because you took the time to call me, so I want to take the time to acknowledge you. But again, thank you.
Hey, Mary and Blake. This is Kendra from Lincoln, Nebraska. I have really, really mixed feelings about this episode. Last episode was so, so strong. I really had very, very little to complain about in it. But they made a serious detour from character with this one. In essence, they robbed something essential from Jamie's character. Jamie wasn't born to be a Laird, but he is written as being very, very natural to the role, and that's kind of essentially who he is, and that's one of the things which gives Claire her sense of homecoming. He was born for leadership, and Claire states that seeing his natural affinity for that, that she was born to be with Jamie. I mean, that's part of her whole kind of coming home feeling. And you know, it turns time into a circle on itself. She was always meant to go back. And if indeed time does run in a loop, then it means that she always does go back. And the story structure is such that Claire's future kind of reinforces her presence in the past. So in giving him kind of frat boy douchey tendencies, it very, very much robs him of a defining characteristic that runs through the entire series, and you know, has created the strong following that he has, and it's why Claire sticks by him. In regards to BJR, that scene, I was not expecting to see that much of Tobias Menzies. However, I do think it is a concentrated, concerted effort to kind of lead the audience into this darker territory and prepping them for what's to come, because it's going to get
pretty dark. And it's going to go places that viewers probably are not prepared to go if you're not well-versed in the story already. And so I think that that was probably a wise choice. It's still very shocking, but a wise choice to kind of get people's feet wet. And in regards to the declaration, much has been made of, you know, how different it is in the book. It is much more romantic. And I think Diana's writing very much, is at its high point in this scene. There is a humanity and a real, depth to the writing. And, it shows that she does know real, true, adult love. And I really appreciate that in the book, and I would have loved to have seen it there. It's way too short. There is absolutely no grief from Claire, in regards to Frank. Frank is completely forgotten. And in the book, that's not the case. She describes having a tearing grief for the man she would never see again. And, Frank, you know, for all of Jamie's strengths, Frank himself was a good guy. And you see it play out in the book. He is still a good guy. I would want to kind of take to task anybody who's saying, oh, well, put yourself in his shoes. He is a good guy. And one of my favorite parts was at quarter day when one of the tenants gives the gift of flowers to Claire. You notice she finally gets her vase. And it is very similar to the vase that she sees in the window in the beginning in the first episode. And so that was very touching, and it kind of brought home that sense of belonging and finally having a place and finally having permanence. Overall, I was kind of disappointed in the episode. I'm probably going to give it a 3 out of 5 tilt. And I'm hoping that, you know, that the next episodes, and I'm fairly confident that they will be up to par to the previous episode. Because so much is going to happen, and it's just going to be, you know, full throttle for the whole rest of the season. So I'm very, very excited. Interesting. I still don't like Denny. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Kendra, as always, thank you for calling in. I love always every week to hear your analysis. You always bring it. Anyway. You brought up a lot of good stuff, the Jenny stuff, the BJR stuff, getting really dark and how you don't like Jenny. Cool. I love it. Awesome. But what I will say is this about Jamie failing as Laird. I got to tell you, from what you've told me, obviously, now, and what Mary has told me, that it was written differently in the book. And I'm happy that it was, because if he had not failed, if he just stepped into his father's shoes and everything, all of the alluding to what his father is and what Jamie needs to become would have been for nothing. He just would have been a natural at it. And that's a flat character to me. There's no arc there. If he just is what he is, there's no growth. And that is, I'm sorry to Diana Gabaldon. She obviously is a great writer, but that's boring. That's boring writing. And I don't care what anybody says. That's boring to me. And there's also historical precedent here, because all of the great leaders in this world, I don't care who they are, they have stumbled at one point in time in their life. Listen, if Alexander the Great, who is my hero, I mean, my mentor, like, God, I wish he was my mentor. Jeez, that'd be amazing. But what I guess is if Alexander the Great, who conquered the known freaking world, stumbled, and trust me, he did. Just ask the Thebans. He did. Are you telling me if he doesn't stumble, that means Jamie Fraser, just some random Laird in Scotland, isn't going to stumble? Of course he's going to. Of course. Why wouldn't he? With that said, it just seems more real. It seems more practical if Jamie stumbles. And I love the fact that he did, because then it gives weight to his arc. It gives weight to his daddy issues. And trust me, he's got them. Even without him falling, he's got daddy issues. But he needs to have stumbled. He needs to have fallen apart a little bit. And that doesn't mean he's not going to be a good Laird. It just means he's learning. He's human. He's supposed to learn. All right, guys. Thank you for the voicemails. Excellent talk. I love everything you guys always bring to the table. Thank you so much. My darling, however, it is now time for what?
The tweet of the week.
This week's tweet of the week is by Liz Daigle. She says, every time I watch Outlander, I want a taste of scotch. I meant scotch. Hashtag not a whore. Hashtag not a lush. Hashtag
my husband will get over it.
And as a reminder to Liz Daigle and everybody that going forward with the tweet of the week, Tag Your It is now sponsoring the tweet of the week by giving the winner a $20 gift card. So if you are creative in any way and you love the fact that you have Outlander on the brain and you want to get creative with us, you will get $20 worth of stuff.
That is so incredibly awesome.
Thank you, Dawn, to Tag Your It.
Whether you want to get a present for your mom or your friends, like, you just won. You won, Liz. You won big time.
So, Liz, thank you so much for being this week's tweet of the week.
Now comes one of my favorite parts of the podcast.
What's that?
Where you just randomly decide you're going to make up plot lines for Outlander. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. And I loved that you thought that Frank was somehow related to Jamie. Of course, it was a very short-lived outlandish theory. It was creative. I will give you that.
Yeah. You know what I'm not, though?
What?
No, I'm not lazy writing. I'll tell you that.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
Well, this outlandish theory of the week is brought to you by Scotland's own Walker's Shortbread. Please visit them at outlander.walkersshortbread.com to enter to win a trip for two to Scotland, number one.
I entered this week. I'm so freaking excited.
Of course, that giveaway is brought to you by Stars and Walker's Shortbread. But we, too, here at OutlanderCast have a giveaway with them as well. And we will be giving you five lucky winners, five cases of
shortbread.
Shortbread. Yes, that.
I'm so excited because shortbread is so tasty.
Don't you love shortbread?
On their website, they have shortbread cookies that look like Scotty dogs.
This is a Scottish product. It comes from Scotland. So it's going to be awesome. So you can get five packages of Walker's shortbread through this. So when you go to their website,
Outlandic, like butter cookies.
When
butter
you go to their cookies
that look like dogs if you want them.
When you go to outlander.walkershortbread.com, please tell them that Outlander Cast sent you and you will get a chance to win in there.
Oh my God, I want their cookies now.
Okay. All right.
I do. They look so good. Oh, they have pictures of just their ingredients. Oh my God, butter.
All right, let's get to the Outlandish Theory of the Week.
Nom, nom.
All right, so my Outlandish Theory of the Week is this.
I'm too busy looking at cookies. Okay, continue.
You're still looking at the cookies?
You have so many different types of shortbreads.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm hungry. I'm pregnant. Leave me alone. Okay, what is your Outlandish Theory? I need to look away. I can't look you in the eyes when you do this.
Okay, the people that you saw at the end of the episode, the lazy writing part of the episode.
Stop it. Don't say that. We're sorry, Ian.
They are the watch, the infamous watch. I guarantee this. And you know what's going to happen?
What?
They're bringing Jamie to Blackjack Randall.
BJR or LJR?
A little bit of both, probably, as a matter of fact.
Oh, no.
As a matter of fact, I also think this. Since they're bringing him to BJR, I think BJR is whipping out LJR, and he's going to try to have his way with Jamie. I think it's going to happen.
Okay.
I think it's going to happen because they would not have brought this material to you without bringing it back. I think he's going to try to force himself on Jamie again.
Mm.
I think it's going to happen.
Okay.
So that is my outlandish theory of the week, that the people that get Jamie are the watch. They are bringing them to the BJR, and BJR is going to try to...
LJR that.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to try to get back with Jamie again.
Okay.
That's my outlandish theory of the week. What do you think?
I'm very uncomfortable by that that theory.
Sorry, I don't mean to make you uncomfortable.
I am.
It is what it is.
Okay.
Think about shortbread, will you?
Especially the ones that look like Scotty's. Like the dogs.
You want to close out the show?
Imagine if they made Jamie ones.
Oh my God. Maybe we could tell them that.
Butter flavored cookies that look like Jamie Fraser. Okay. This is getting a little weird.
I know. It's just a pregnant girl's dreams. Yeah, we're not professional. Oh. All right. Let's close out the show.
Okay. To remind you that this episode of Outlander Cast is brought to you by the Tag You're It Etsy shop. From Outlander inspired necklaces and rings to custom designs for birthdays, Mother's Day, or any occasion, every piece is created by Dawn, one letter at a time, and is one of a kind. Please take the time to visit Dawn at www.tagyourit.biz. That's B-I-Z. Tell her Blake and I sent you. And use the coupon code OUTLANDERCAST15 for 15% off your purchase. As always, tag your mama, tag your pet, tag your it, whatever it is. Ladies and gents, thank you so much for chatting with us. And I really need to let you know how happy I am with all of the interactions we've been having on social media.
Especially now that you're on bed rest.
Yeah, it's really, you guys are my friends. You're my friends who I get to hang with. And so please continue to chat with us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can find us by searching for OutlanderCast.
Or you can check us out on OutlanderCast.com, where you can find all the great listener forums, all of our episodes, all of our great interviews, our even our giveaways, and especially the Mary and Blake store, where we have the infamous Sassenach wasted shirt.
Ooh, and now that she is back to drinking, Lord knows.
Making bad decisions.
Oh, poor Claire. Poor Claire.
And if you want to get in touch with us, you can also get us at outlandercast@gmail.com.
Aww.
You like how I say that?
I do.
It's good, isn't it?
So check us out on iTunes if you already do, or you could see us on even our website or even Stitcher. But we would love it if you could rate us and review us on iTunes. Wanted to read one from Spirit Wheels.
Oh.
Said, best of the Outlander podcast other than Ron Moore's. Great to have different perspectives. Man, male versus female. Book reader versus non-book reader. Glad that there's not too much swooning over Jamie, since Mary is obviously happily married to Blake.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
I know. I am truly, truly happily married to this man.
Oh, so, this made my heart blush.
Oh. Well, if people want to have their voices heard, you can call our hotline.
At 503-454-6730.
And if you would like to donate to the Outlander Cast cause, because, you know, we pay for hosting fees and other lovely things.
Just go straight to the Support Us tab on OutlanderCast.com, and you will find the little button that says Patreon. And if you click that, you can give us a dollar, $2, $125 billion. It doesn't really matter. We would be glad and honored to accept anything you'd be willing to give to help to keep the show written, performed, and produced. Hey, these things cost money.
And we appreciate, honestly, everything. Your feedback, just your listening. Like, each time we see that someone has joined us as a new listener, it gives us warm fuzzies inside. So thank you all so incredibly much for taking the time to listen to us. You've been listening to Outlander Cast. My name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
And we'll be talking with you guys soon.